Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Good morning. This is the early line for Wednesday, October 26, 2022, right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Donnie Wrightside, along with Joe Ranieri. Over the next 2 hours, we're going to set the table for the rest of your Sports Grid day. Joe Ranieri, good morning. Rising and grinding with us.
Oh, just my favorite part of the week here, Donnie. Doesn't get any better why Walsh just lays in bed and has brunch. It's wonderful. Thank you very much.
I love it. Right off the top, throwing shots. We're red hot out of the gate. And it's time now to get to our 7-in-7 topics today. And by the way, talking about getting hot, getting heated yesterday, the game wasn't close, but it took 759 regular season games before Klay Thompson got ejected from an NBA contest in an absolute rout by the Suns yesterday, Joe.
Yeah, that game, and it changed too once he got thrown out there. At that point, the Suns just went on a tear, but the refs had lost control of that game.
State Warriors last night, but also we'll break that game down a little bit more. As Draymond Green said, he thought the Suns were a little emotional yesterday. We'll get to that in just a few moments here. How about this, though? Jim Nantz, a Final Four mainstay, going to call his Final Four in 2023 before handing it over to Ian Eagle.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of that from Nantz. I think he's at the point now, at least what I've been reading, is that it's going to be the Masters. He's got other things he wants to do in life. Although that's a very calming voice over all of those tournaments for so many years. But I think Ian Eagle's ready for the job here.
Yeah, that's a pretty primo job to get there. Center stage, some chance for some great calls, which Nantz has had over the years. And maybe Ian Eagle will also hand over his tie to the winning team in the Final Four as well to continue that streak. Talking about streaks here, how about this? Iron Man. Now, we know Joe Ranieri is the Iron Man here at the Sports Grid Network, seemingly working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But Phil Kessel, 990 straight games he's played in the NHL. And how about this? He scored his 400th goal as well last night.
Yeah, pretty impressive stuff then. They actually did a nice tribute. He took over, Keith Yandel, I think he passed him, who didn't have the record for very long as the Iron Man. But when you think about it, that is a huge amount of games, Donnie, in that sport to roll off. Plus 400 wins, American-born player. It was a celebratory night there for Kessel and the Vegas Knights. Great job.
Yeah, first off, you have to be good enough to play that long. And second, like, that is a physical. I mean, you're talking the lower body injuries, Joe, as they like to say, certainly pile up in the NHL. That is an amazing statistic. And then on top of it, not just a guy that's out there to be a third-line mucker and grinder. The guy scored 400 goals in the NHL, so certainly a very good appearance last night. And also, one of those records, I don't know, maybe we'll get another record broken next year as he took over for Yandel. Cowboys beef up their defensive line. The pass rush is all the way there for the Cowboys, Joe, but it looks like they're trying to hone in on stopping the run as Jonathan Hankin comes over for a 2024 seventh-round selection.
I'm not terrible at stopping the run. I mean, they're kind of middle of the road, but looks like Hankins is going to help them get a little more depth on that defensive front there. It is a scary defense If they can stay healthy, you know, a move like this didn't cost them all that much, and they added a little beef, shall we say, to that front there in the defensive line. So don't hate the move. They're making adjustments, as are other teams that are serious at this point in the season of making a run at something.
Yeah, got to keep getting stronger there in the NFC East as we welcome in the radio audience, SiriusXM Channel 159 Radio on the Sports Grid Network. Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside on the early line going over our 7-7 topics here. The Marlins have hired a new manager. I don't know if the manager is going to make all that much of a difference. What the Marlins should do for me, Joe Ranieri, hire some good baseball players. How about that?
Is he hitting third? I don't know. Can he actually can he hit? Because, I mean, I know he's a utility guy back with the Cardinals. And when it, with two championship teams, he was a bench coach. I mean, I listen, 42 years old. I wish the guy all the best of luck down here. But the reality is, if you don't get some players in that organization that can hit the ball, it won't be. You're lucky Mattingly lasted 7 years. I still don't know how we did it. But hey, they got some pitching. There's at least that.
Yeah, we'll see if the Marlins can turn it around here. Sign some players, get some players, get some fans in that ballpark. Certainly would make the difference. How about yesterday on the NHL ice? Two teams notching their sixth win, the Bruins, in a 3-1 victory over the Stars. And then late night action, the Golden Knights, 4-2 over the Sharks.
Yep, great win last night for the Golden Knights, getting it done here, seemingly cruising on Kessel's evening, but new coach and undefeated on the home ice here for the Boston Bruins. Seems like they've gotten their act together and they're doing the usual, at least what Bruins fans expect them to do, which is dominate their home ice. They did it last night.
Dominate home ice and have a little Dunkin' Donuts up there in Boston. A perfect way to start the season. But also, how about this? Season starting here, the AP team is out. First team All-Stars for NCAA basketball. Drew Timmy, Oscar Tshiebwe lead that charge here. Also listed there was Bacot, Sasser, and Jackson Davis. And right around the corner, a few days it feels like away, Joe, when you're from starting college basketball. My goodness, the grid's the place to be for everything sports. And coming up, the NBA in review. Let's go.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Hour number one on the early line. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, breaking it all down as we hit the action on the hard court. Four games yesterday, Joe, in NBA action. We start in Washington where the Wizards 120-99 over the Detroit Pistons. If we looked at the closing line at the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday, -5.5 for those Wizards, easily covering, but a tough one here. 221, the closing number here on that total. Congratulations if you had the under. Tough beat, 120-99 if you had that over. Setting the table for this game from last night, some good scoring here. Kyle Kuzma, 25 points. Kristaps Porzingis, 20 points here. Bradley Beal chipping in with 13 as the Wizards, Joe, move to 3-1 on the season.
The Wizards are playing some very inspired basketball here, but more importantly, they're playing defense. What? Yes, they're playing actual defense here. And they have held all of their opponents at least 107 points or less in regulation here. So they are doing it. They're scoring with Beal, Kuzma. Don't sleep on Porzingis. If this guy can stay healthy, they brought in Morris this year. This is a team that has slowed the tempo down, has decided that they're going to go ahead, man up here a little bit on some of these teams, play some defense. And, yeah, they're not shooting a ton of threes either, Donnie, which makes it unique. So they're getting it done inside the paint. Impressive start so far for Kuzma, Porzingis, and I can't say Bradley Beal and the Washington Wizards. Not so much for Detroit. They got to figure some things out here, namely Jordan Ivey and Cunningham. Who's going to handle the ball? Somebody make a decision here at this point.
Yeah, if we're looking at playing defense there, held the Detroit Pistons, talking about the Wizards, to 40% shooting from the field. That includes 29% from three. That's not going to get the job done there. Nice win by the Wizards, who actually won all four quarters yesterday. Yep. Keep it moving here. The Dallas Mavericks and the New Orleans Pelicans. This one had the eyes open. Why? 113-111, a victory for the Pelicans. Now, normally, Joe, you'd say, yeah, Pelicans at home. Supposed to beat the Dallas Mavericks. Not so fast. Down three starters, including Ingram and Zion Williamson. This game actually opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a -3, closed at a 5.5-point favorite for the Mavericks and an over-under of 218.5. If you're going to have the Pelicans give you that strong an effort without their big guys, watch out, because many of us were looking at the Pelicans as one of those teams ready to take that next step. Maybe they are.
Yeah, they had, transition buckets, big problem there for the Dallas Mavericks to defend them. But, hey, you don't have Ingram, you don't have Zion, and you were still able to run the floor very effectively with Alvarado. Look at McCollum, Valanciunas. They still have plenty of scoring on this team, even when those big two don't play. So it's looking really good for New Orleans. Dallas, as long as Doncic goes, they'll have a shot.
By the way, so the box score is very interesting from this game, because obviously if you're down three starters, which the Pelicans were, how about the entire starting lineup in double digits? And then you go to the bench. Four players came in off the bench here, Joe. Three of those guys in double digits. The only guy that actually didn't finish with double digits, didn't even score, and that was Jackson Hayes, the backup center here. So that's an impressive performance for the now 3-1 Pelicans. But I want to ask you a question here about the Dallas Mavericks, because we're always like, who's going to be the running mate here with Luka Doncic? Now, granted, Spencer Dinwiddie, 24 points last year. Today he was a starter. Last year he was coming off the bench. Wood, 23 points off the bench. That's fine. Everybody else, 4 points, 3 points, 8 points, 2 points, 3 points. It just seems that we're waiting to say, hey, Luka, pair him up with a legitimate superstar to see what he can do. Is this going to be another one of those seasons where it's all on Luka to carry the Mavericks? And at the end of the year, Joe, we'll say the same thing. Somebody get Luka some help out here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was, 16-30 last night, which is, pretty decent. The problem was he was 11 of 13 from three.
Yeah.
And they live or die by the three. And if it's not him, you said it. Look at the scorecard. It's not like anybody else stepped up. They used to have a guy. His name is Brunson. He plays for the Knicks now. So, yeah, that's going to be the problem with Dallas. Who is going to be that Robin to Batman here with Doncic? I don't know, Donnie. Nobody's done it yet. Dinwiddie's the nice... I don't know. I don't know where it's coming. I'm still trying to figure out who's going. It can't be Tim Hardaway Jr. the problem as to why they couldn't win this game last night. Can't be.
Yeah.
Or maybe it can.
We need a little Batman and Robin-esque action down there for the Dallas Mavericks. But we'll see if they make a move at the deadline, or if they just say, hey, Luka, score 40 points a game. We'll all have some fun, and next year we'll try again to get you a superstar. Yep. We'll keep it moving here. How about this one, Clippers Thunder? Now, this is get ready for the NBA 22-23 season, because if we're resting guys this early on after not playing basketball for roughly 2 years, talking to you, Kawhi Leonard, this is what happens here. 108-94 final. Oklahoma City blows out the Clippers. Now, this gives the Oklahoma City Thunder, Joe, their first win of the season. But I've been down this long path as a Sixer fan where the object is not actually to win games. The object is to lose as much as possible to get another superstar player in the draft. So as much as you wake up this morning, if you're a Thunder fan, go, oh, yeah, we won last night. As soon as you say that, you smack yourself and go, come on now. What are we doing winning basketball games? That's a poor performance. A -10 is an opening number here for the Clippers. Drop the -5.5. They get busted up here, Joe.
Well, they got busted up, and I mean, call me wrong here, but yesterday morning, right around this time, we saw this number about 9.5, 10. Why?
Yeah.
Because Gilgeous Alexander wasn't supposed to play. Josh Giddey wasn't, like, nobody. And then all of a sudden, 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like, oh, no, it feels better. His hip is good. He didn't play Sunday, so everyone thought he was just going to be out. Well, he wasn't out. He dropped 33. And in the meantime, everybody on the Clippers pretty much decided to take the day off. And then it's upsetting because Oklahoma City's like, listen, we're trying to tank, okay? Yep. We're not trying to win games, so we're going to need you to make a better effort next time, Clippers. Like, come on, give us a break here.
I do get a kick out of that, too, because, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is one of those guys, like, the best-kept secret in the NBA, because they pull him out every once in a while to drop 30 points and say, hey, You're playing too well for us, man. Sit the next couple games out so we can get a couple losses in here. So maybe the future will once be bright here for the Oklahoma City Thunder once they let their players actually play each and every night, and we'll see where those ping pong balls drop at the end of the year. I'll tell you right now, Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors, you saw that line open up at the FanDuel Sportsbook as a favorite to the Suns at -3, Joe. Dropped to a -1.5-point favorite for the Suns, and the route was on. Almost a 30-point victory, 134-105 over the Golden State Warriors. Looked like some team yesterday, Joe, took that game pretty serious.
Yeah, it was obvious the game meant much more to Phoenix than it did to Golden State, who is still trying to figure out, you know, 11-man rotations right now that they keep rolling in and out. And it's going to be like that for a little while. But, you know, it continues. They struggled last year on the road. They were absolutely dominant at home. Here they go again. First road game here in Phoenix. And what happens? 9 technical fouls, a lot of screaming and yelling, and a blowout situation here by the Phoenix Suns. The once dominant Warriors in the third quarter, that's where the game was blown open. 33-20, they got outscored in the third. And that's all she wrote from there.
I'm going to get out my crystal ball, Joe Ranieri, and say yesterday, I got some information I think you would want to know. Ooh, Donnie, what is it? It's with the game between the Suns and the Warriors. I'm going to tell you Draymond Green's going to go 7 of 10 from the field. Would you like to bet the Golden State Warriors, or would you like to fade them? Me? Like, what? 14 points at least out of Draymond? Oh, that's an easy victory. Not the case, man.
No, not with 9 technicals, and he wasn't the one thrown out. How crazy is that? I mean, you would have told me, hey, there's going to be 9 technicals. I'd have been like, oh, Draymond, it must have been an early night for Draymond Green. No, it was actually Klay Thompson getting tossed. Everybody looked like they were getting tossed in that game. A lot of finger point, a lot of shoving, very physical. It's like, settle down, guys. It's the fourth game of the year. Like, plenty of basketball still to be played here.
Yeah, there certainly is plenty to be played. It's just interesting because I know it's early. It's an 82-game schedule. You see the Golden State Warriors 2-2, and, you know, some people had them running the table for the entire NBA season as if they would never lose again. You still got to get your rotations down. You still got to play on the road. And other teams are going to look at you, the Golden State Warriors, with a target on your back. We're going to talk NBA action Wednesday. Stack card. Come on back with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in. This is the early line for Wednesday morning. Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, right here on SiriusXM Channel 159, bringing that NBA heat. 10 games, Joe Ranieri, on the card tonight. We're going to focus in on an NBA six-pack tonight, starting 541-542 with the Atlanta Hawks and the Detroit Pistons. Pistons back in action today, trying again, maybe something better, but how about this? Atlanta Hawks on the road, a 7-point favorite here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Number for the total, 229, expecting scoring tonight. So we line up the 2-1 Hawks and the 1-3 Pistons. DeJounte Murray coming over for the Atlanta Hawks from the Spurs. 19 a game, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, exactly where he left off with the Spurs. What are we looking forward to tonight? Back-to-back games, maybe guys sitting out, or is this really just too easy and Atlanta should be able to roll over the Pistons?
You would think. I mean, it's Detroit has not looked good at all. We just talked about them last night, and now here they are. They're going to have a back-to-back situation here where they're going to play Atlanta twice in a row. Tonight will be the first game, but Detroit was outscored in that second half badly, 64-50 there last night. And they've got, when Bojan Bogdanovic is your leading and most consistent scorer here, with guys like, you know, Cunningham and who again wasn't great last night, they got to figure some things out. They look very disjointed, this offense of Detroit. They got to figure out how is Cunningham and Ivy going to work together? Who's going to handle the ball? Cunningham shooting, 36% through the first 4 games. It's not great. They're a young team. They're a young squad. I don't think the back-to-back will be as much of a factor as confidence right now. And Dwayne Casey pulling the right strings to get these guys on the same page. I couldn't look at them. I could certainly look at Atlanta here to get this done, especially I think it's a good live betting opportunity here. If Atlanta comes out a little slow, we already seen Detroit not figure things out in the second half, so Atlanta might be a pretty good second half play here tonight.
Yeah, something to keep an eye on, too, there. Obviously, with back-to-back, 70% of the tickets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook coming in on the road team, the Atlanta Hawks. Quick question for you also, Joe Ranieri. 82-game schedule in the NBA. We know they're not lessening that because the gates are important. The TV contracts are written up. But the one thing I never can understand is the NBA always comes out year to year, and it seems to get worse. You know, taking those, you know, nights off for your superstar player, maintenance days, as they like to call it. I still don't understand why we have back-to-back games in the NBA. I understand the reasoning behind it because NBA owners are greedy. When the NBA team is not playing at home, there's a Dua Lipa concert or a wrestling event in the arena that they can actually sell out. But it comes to me in the next couple of years, are we going to see a market change where the NBA says, look, we need our superstars to play? It's not a good look when LeBron James comes to your city and the place is sold out, but he sits out. Not because he's injured, because he's just resting for that game overall because they played last night in Denver. It's just kind of an anomaly that I would like to see change. Is there any chance that that does change?
Hey, listen, it's something, Donnie, we've been screaming and yelling at for NBA fans, NBA bettors, trying to, you know, a mad dash to the 4:30 injury report, be like, who's on, who's not? Is he playing? Is he not playing? Who's going on? You can't make a bet early in the NBA because next thing you know, like last night with Oklahoma City, you're like, well, I didn't think he was playing. What do you mean he's playing? What's going on? So they do have some issues. But unfortunately, Donnie, I think we've been arguing about this and complaining about it, and yet they continue to do things like this. And I think it's because they want quantity over quality. That's the bottom line with them. They want X amount of games to line the pockets. That's what they're selling. They don't really care who plays because they know once that game, we're going to bitch and moan that we paid money to go see LeBron who didn't play tonight because of load management or call it whatever you want. But they know we're already moved on to the next game. So they're hoping the fans have very short memories, which they do, unfortunately. And I don't see it getting any better anytime soon because ultimately it isn't about making the product better. It's a matter of just giving you the product and as much of it as humanly possible in a short period of time.
Yeah, one of our favorite updates here from NBA bettors is midway through the day, you get an upgrade like Gilgeous Alexander. Not the probable, just the questionable. So you have to wait around the rest of the day to find out what that actually means. 543, 544, Charlotte Hornets, New York Knicks. Knicks at home in the Garden, favored by 7.5 points, a 226 total in this game. And obviously one of my favorite bets in the NBA night to night, the Julius Randle double-double because he's averaging 20-10. Rozier for Charlotte here, 23.5 points per game. How about this? 7 rebounds and 8 assists, 2-1 Hornets, 2-1 Knicks.
So Brunson, the New York Knicks guard, has actually been pretty darn efficient here coming in and so far this season. And there were some question marks as to what would he be without Doncic and so on and so forth. But so far, so good for the New York Knicks. Charlotte, I don't understand the market love sometimes that we've seen here in these couple of games for Charlotte. They're not a very good team. And while they beat Detroit, we've already established, they are still trying to figure some things out with that young team. I don't know. I think this is this has got Knicks all over it here. And Charlotte, I think things can go hard left in a hurry. And I think it's going to happen soon in this opening month. It's just a matter of what's going to be the catalyst. What's going to be that one game they're going to get smoked, and then things are going to go downhill. But again, no LaMelo Ball, right? Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
I think Cody Martin. You know, they don't have any of those guys yet on a consistent basis. I do think if they can get LaMelo back at some particular point, that will solidify that team a little bit more. But I can't trust them here. Steve Clifford saying all the right things, but I think his team is severely deficient on both ends of the court. And it's going to start showing when they play some of the better teams like the Knicks.
Doesn't look like any superstar is going to sit out in this one here. 545, 546 on the rotation. 7:30 Eastern tip. That's the Brooklyn Nets traveling to take on the Milwaukee Bucks. If we're setting the line here, opened up at -4 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now we're seeing 3.5s invade and a 233 total. This is one that you're going to want to watch because obviously we know Giannis is on it already, as he always is. Yep. Kevin Durant putting up numbers. Even Kyrie Irving in their last game putting up some good numbers. One guy not putting up so good numbers, Ben Simmons. So Simmons watches on there for Brooklyn. But looking at this game overall, is this a spot that you think the Nets can succeed? Or is it just like, man, I'm not taking that Nets team. Just give me the Bucks at home.
I think it's a spot that we need to focus in on the total here. Because we know one team ain't going to play any defense, and that being the Brooklyn Nets. However, we do know the Milwaukee Bucks are going to play some defense. Don't forget, you know, Milwaukee is still, they still don't have their full complement of guys here. They're still injured. They got guys and rotation guys and coming off the bench here. I think, Donnie, this is where people are going to anticipate there's going to be so much scoring in this game. Yeah, I don't think so. Neither team is up there. They're both at the bottom of pace. So no team, neither of these teams is going to run up and down the court here and try and all, you know, out-transition the other. It's very slow. It's very methodical. And while they'll chuck up a bunch of threes, the Brooklyn Nets, they are going to be defended on the perimeter here. I think this has got underwritten all over it. I think everyone's going to expect this to be an over battle because of the deficiencies there of the Nets. I don't see it. I think Milwaukee clamps down, makes scoring very difficult for the Brooklyn Nets here. So I'm looking at the under in this matchup.
NBA playoff rematch here, 76ers and the Raptors. The 1-3 Philadelphia 76ers taking on the 2-2 Raptors. If we set the table for this game, FanDuel opened this up as a -1 point favorite for the road team, Philadelphia 76ers. Still staying in that territory at a -1. Over, under. How about this one? 222.5, Joe, down to 216 here at FanDuel. The Sixers and the Raptors north of the border.
Yeah, so interesting. They beat Indiana, and I guess all is, you know, okay with the world. So you beat a G League team, and now all of a sudden the Sixers are good to go. They got to figure some things out, namely defensive, because they're going to have a whole lot of interesting players here with Toronto. Very long, lengthy. They got these wing players over here that are matchup nightmares. And you know what else they do? Defend. They defend really, really well. So I understand the move down with the total here. This is a test here. It's also going to be an interesting test in the transition game for the Philadelphia 76ers. Do we get enough defense for them to be able to handle this? Or is this going, they're just going to try to outscore them as best as possible and hope that Toronto misses enough shots in order to be able to win it? It's an interesting matchup, one in which I would absolutely look at the under in because I don't trust either offense really at this point to go up against the other defense.
Let's see if James Harden can stay cooking there. And by the way, I'm going to set the table for this game. It's 10 o'clock out west. It's the Heat and the Trailblazers. One team's 4-0, one team's 1-3. Oh, come on, man. Heat 4-0. Open up the game. First four games of the season at home. Not the case here. The Heat actually 1-3. The Trailblazers 4-0 as the Heat go on the road. If we're looking at this line, Portland only a -1 point favorite at home, 221.5. When did the Heat start getting heated up here, Joe Ranieri?
I don't know. When did I start scoring, Don? It's a great question because we're all asking that question here in South Florida going, like, what is going on? They can barely score 100 points a game thus far. It's pretty embarrassing. But I will tell you this. The Trailblazers, they are cooking. And they're cooking, Donnie, in the second half of games, especially in the fourth quarter. They are the number one fourth quarter scoring team in the NBA right now. So even if Miami is up at the half, Donnie, you know Portland's going to be a better mind here tonight because they come out firing in the second half. I expect the same thing here tonight against the Heat.
Yeah, should be a good one to watch. And also, quickly, the Lakers in town to take on the Denver Nuggets. They're getting 6 points. I don't even want to watch the game. Just show me the post-game press conference. And by the way, World Series Wednesday!
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the Early Line on a Wednesday, October morning. Red October in the city of Philadelphia. It's going to be the Phillies and the Houston Astros on Friday night. And this morning to discuss it, as usual, Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside, because I know Joe Ranieri, one of the biggest Philadelphia Phillies fans I know in the marketplace. I'm just here sort of further along the conversation at this point. Let's get started. Yesterday, Joe on the show, didn't have very many topics here in the World Series because it seems like they're off for 2 weeks until the first game starts, which actually will be Friday night. I got a question for you here in this one. Both teams, the Astros and the Phillies, closed out their opponents on Sunday, which means you're roughly getting 5 full days off, which is a rarity in baseball. You usually get a day off, maybe a rain out turns into 2 days off, but not five. Does one team here benefit more than the other with the five-day break?
I don't think so. I think it actually works out where both are able to restart their rotations, right? Both are able to get their guys. And you would think the hot-hitting Phillies, because you know how that works there, Donnie, where when you got it rolling, you know, you don't keep it rolling. Baseball is a streaky sport. The Phillies have been one of the most streakiest teams that we have seen all year long. When they get it rolling at the plate, though, like they have been, and you want that to keep going. You don't want all of a sudden now to have this 3-4-5 day window where it's like you're not taking the reps again, and batting practice is not game situation. So I think if it's going to affect anybody, it's going to affect the Phillies, who have not been in this spot before. It's another game to Houston. Let's be realistic here. Been there, done that. They're used to this squad now competing for championships. That's what they are. Dusty's got a vested interest. They're going to be very focused. The Phillies, though, I'm wondering, are we going to get the same Philly bats that we just got with the Padres, or are they going to have to find it in game 2, 3, 4 again and hope they can get it rolling? That's going to be the interesting story here.
Yeah, the only interruption, I guess you could say, is like the Astros closed out in the Bronx in Yankee Stadium, flew home Sunday. They're home all week long. The Phillies are still practicing and getting their workouts in at Citizens Bank Park. They still have to travel, check into the hotel rooms, make sure the family's got their tickets there. So maybe a little bit more distractions there. But you are right. Like, Bryce Harper was so locked in over the past two series, you'd hate to see 5 days off, then face Verlander and, you know, Valdez and be like, hey, man, I just can't get my swing back here. That would be a tough scene to have. So I sort of agree with you there. But there's no, you know, situation where, boy, Harper took a foul off the leg, or Bregman twisted his ankle rounding third in the past game on Sunday. They need an extra couple days. There's none of that. So maybe rust will be a factor. The second thing coming up, which I see a couple different outlets listing different starting pitchers for the Philadelphia Phillies. Zach Wheeler's been dominant. Aaron Nola's been very good. But it looks like around Philadelphia, Joe, Aaron Nola's probably going to get the start first in game one because Zach Wheeler pitched in the last game, maybe give him an extra day rest, and Nola hasn't been on the mound for some time here. But that number has not come out. You should say the number's up on FanDuel, but the official starting pitcher has not. If it's up to you, Joe, who are you putting on the mound first? Wheeler, Nola, or does it even matter?
Listen, either way, it's about as good a 1-2 punch, Donnie, as there is in baseball, and it has been all year long. So, and I don't think anybody that's followed the Phillies or has paid attention, I mean, Nola's been one of the best pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, I think only Alcantara was the only guy to actually pitch more than 7 innings in his starts this season than Nola. So it goes to show you he's been very workmanlike. Didn't have a great start there against the Padres, but to me, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? You started when it mattered. Wheeler led you off. Nola came in second, right? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know why you would change it. They're both going to be right around, I guess, because Wheeler had to pitch the last game, so maybe you want to give him. But at this point, it's still going to be right around that 5 day, that 5-6 day mark for both guys. So I don't think it matters who you pitch. I think both of them there will be ready. I think they're both as good, if not better, than what the Astros are going to be rolling out there. I don't think pitching is what's going to make the difference here. I think it's going to be which team can continue to crush the ball. I don't see a lot of unders in these games here, Donnie, no matter who's on the mound.
Yeah, two smaller ballparks there down at Mid-Maid, certainly at Citizens yep. Bank. But also, taking a look at those pitching staff, you're right. The starting pitcher is pretty evenly matched up. Maybe that advantage might come from the Houston Astros, which seemingly, Joe, pull a one ERA from every single pitcher they run into the game sixth inning on. We'll find out to see what happens there. But also, another interesting point at the FanDuel Sportsbook. We don't know who's pitching for the Phillies, but the lines are out there as if it's like, hey, Nola Wheeler, so what? Here's what your line is, minus 164 as a favorite towards the Houston Astros. Series price here. Astros, obviously the favorite. The Astros are the better baseball team. The Astros also have home field advantage. Minus 190 price on the Houston Astros. The Philadelphia Phillies, if you want that dog, a plus 165. For me, it's hard because if you look at the Phillies' run-up here, Joe, the better team was St. Louis. The better team was the Atlanta Braves. And maybe you could argue the better team was the Padres, probably the most even matchup of all of those. And the Phillies prevailed all the way through. So when you say, well, hey, the Houston Astros are the better team, which I do feel they are, hasn't really impeded the Phillies' progress. And also, you're right. If you can win game one and take Verlander down, it would be an amazing start for the Phillies. But for me, from a fandom perspective, you know, I'm not just going to come out and say, I'll take the Phillies 165. Don't care about the yep. matchups. The Phillies are going to be legit in this series, and I think it goes 5, 6, 7 games. Now, the reason I bring up 5, Joe Ranieri, is if I do think the Phillies are going to win this series, to be honest, I think it has to be in 5. It doesn't sound right. Like, wait a minute. 4-1 Phillies, that's an absolute trouncing. But if you think about it, it's 2-3-2, not 2-2-1-1-1, because otherwise yes. I'd say Phillies in 6, they clinch at home. It's going to be hard, Joe, for the Phillies to clinch in game 6 or 7 on the road.
Yeah, especially in Philadelphia, where it seems that, you know, that fan yeah. base there, Donnie, unbeaten. Did an amazing job of backing them yep. all series long there. So I do think it's going to be a little bit of an advantage there, especially in the weather, playing outdoors. Again, don't forget, they're a dome team, this Astros team, one way or the other. We're going to see if the elements maybe get a little bit... a little bit cranky there with Mother Nature, and I think that's absolutely advantage of Philadelphia. But listen, it's a 7-game series. It remains the same, Donnie. If you're the road team, you got to win one of the first 2 games. Win one of them. Who is it going to be? Is it going to be Nola? Is it going to be Wheeler, right? Both guys, and the beauty about those guys is both guys are capable of taking the bullpens out of it. So, you know, we won't have to worry about the bullpens, right? Because we're going to have a guy like Wheeler or Nola who can go 7, 8 innings and not force you to have to make a decision in the 4th, 5th, or 6th inning, right? And piece things together. That's the beauty of it. But I do think game one, to set the tone, if the bats are locked in like they were here, Donnie, and I think they were way locked in more than what Houston had going with the Yankees, because the Yankees never really put any pressure on Houston in that series. If they're locked in and they can win game one, Donnie, hold on. It'll be interesting to see when has Houston really been backed in a corner? Well, yeah, how long has it been? Let's see what let's see what happens. I would love to see them get game one at which particular point. It's going to be real interesting. And by, you know, conversely, if you think that maybe Verlander, he is 39, did have surgery. We already watched Seattle light him up pretty well there. He wasn't, you know, the Yankees strike out about against you and I. So the fact that yep. he struck out 11 really doesn't excite me there. But again, locked in Philadelphia bats. We saw what Seattle did to him. If they can get to Verlander, hold off, Houston bettors. You're going to have an interesting decision to make if they go into game 2 down 1-0.
Yeah, and the Phillies have an M.O. also, Joe, for splitting in the opponent's building there, doing it against the Atlanta Braves, then sweeping at home, doing it against the San Diego Padres, then also sweeping at home. Yep. Obviously, in the first series against the Cardinals, it was a 3-game set out there. The Phillies won the first 2. There was no need to come home, and they couldn't come home because that's not what the series was set up to be at that point. Also, you bring up a good point here. I always love this, and I get sidetracked because I get so angry sometimes at baseball. Like Houston, right? 65, 75 degrees this time of year, very nice. When they have the ballpark open, which I believe they had at least 1 game against the Yankees, it's a completely different dynamic. Now, it no longer turns into a dome where it's extremely loud, but the ballpark is beautiful. It's downtown Houston. The buildings are out. It gives a completely different vibe. Then you come to the city of Philadelphia, and you might be getting those 45-degree, rainy, you know, misty nights here in the city. That might be able to play into it where you're not used to gripping that baseball in cooler temperatures for the Houston Astros. We'll see if that does play out. But let's have a little bit of fun here. In this series, two smaller ballparks show, as you said, we might be expecting runs regardless of the pitching staffs here. There are some fun numbers here. Yordan Alvarez to lead the series in home runs, plus 370. Kyle Schwarber out of the leadoff hole for the Phillies, plus 370. Then you filter down Harper, Hoskins, Tucker, Bregman, Altuve, Pena. Some real long shots on the board. For me, I talked about it yesterday on Gabe and Cam's show, Game Time Decisions. I like Rhys Hoskins, plus 650 to lead the series in home runs. I think his swing fits perfectly in Houston to match him up against the Crawford boxes in left fields. Any fun wagers here in that home run market? Any guys you see that might be able to lead that total?
Well, you know, Alvarez up at the top there is interesting, but he's disappeared. After he hit those all those home runs there in the series against, what, Seattle, he's kind of been MIA. It's not like the Astros. I think they're only hitting 227 as a team in these playoffs. You've got Altuve there is 3-for-32. He's not been very good. The home runs, I think, are going to come, but I don't think they're going to come from the same cast of characters on Houston's side. I don't think Alvarez is going to be the guy. I do think it's going to be these other cast of characters that are going to have these big, big hits here, like a Tucker, like a Bregman, right? One of these guys is going to do it. And if Altuve can turn it around, would it shock us if Altuve, has four home runs in this series? Would, you know, especially since he hasn't been hitting well, and he may have an opportunity with a lot more grooved fastballs here because they don't feel like they have to mess around with him because he hasn't been able to hit water if he fell out of a boat. Schwarber and Harper are going to be the guys for me because I still don't think guys hit the ball. The ball hits that barrel on those two guys, it's gone, man. It's absolutely gone. And you mentioned small ballpark. I don't need them to hit it 500 yards. I just need them to get some loft under it, and good things are going to happen in small ballparks there. So Schwarber and Harper, I think, are the guys I would concentrate on in the home run prop world.
MVP marketplace here. It's a lot of bats surrounded by Justin Verlander here. The interesting part about that, the last time the Phillies won the World Series 2008, Cole Hamels took down the MVP of the World Series. Does a pitcher have a chance in this market? And if not, what's a batter you might be looking at here, Joe?
Well, Verlander is the only guy I would think who can just shut him down and go 2-0, that kind of thing.
Big, yeah.
But again, if he goes 2-0, this series is probably over in four or five games. So I do think that Harper is the guy you got to concentrate on. He has proven time and time again that big game, Donnie, right? Who do you want up at the plate when it matters the most?
True. That's what you want to do. That's what you want to do. We'll see. Again, home runs usually lead the way, but a 2-0 pitcher certainly going to be up there in that MVP voting here for the World Series. Now, opening up your purse strings, paying Major League Baseball players. Maybe the Yankees missed their mark already because there's one team out west that says we will not be underbid. Come find out who that team is next on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Short segment before we hit the top of the hour with hour number two right here on The Early Line, but topics abound. Always interesting, and this one might mean a lot of money. As you saw last year, Aaron Judge and the New York Yankees could not come to an agreement. Aaron Judge said, once the season starts, we are not negotiating anymore, and they didn't. So there is a team out west named the San Francisco Giants that one executive says Judge is at the top of the Giants list, and they won't be underbid. If they miss out, it won't be because of money. Oh, the Steinbrenners might have cost themselves a player and a whole lot of grief here, Joe Ranieri.
Yeah, well, you know, I love how it's an executive. So when you say executive, you mean it's basically Judge's team of agents. leaking that, you know, there's another team out there sending a message to the Yankees to let them know that, oh, yeah, by the way, don't come in here on the cheap side of things. It's not going to work. So, but again, if explain to me this, Donnie. So you're going to spend $400, $500 million, 10 years, whatever it's going to be, right? What else do you have, Giants, exactly? You should have done this 2 years ago. You kept holding on to the strings because they were playing well. You should have blown it up a couple of years ago. You'd be in prime position. But what is Judge walking into in the Giants? You're going to have to finish second fiddle to the Padres and the Dodgers every year? He's not a guy that's going to, by himself. He's not going to walk in with the Giants and all of a sudden make them a contender. He's not.
The same guy who was quoted said the Giants are not going to stop with Judge there, Joe Ranieri. They have money freed up. They can continue to spend. Also, if you're Aaron Judge, you play in a little league ballpark that you can hit missile after missile 300 feet for home runs. You're going to have to hit titanic shots out in San Francisco if you want to get near that 50 home run mark. Hour number two coming up right now as we switch it over to the gridiron and a lot of hot topics here in the NFL. So make sure you stick around right on the early line. It's Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside, Sports Grid, SiriusXM channel 159.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.